You're listening to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. And now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Arkansas basketball season over with a 109-88 loss to Arizona last night in the Sweet 16 in San Jose. Ethan Westerman is in California. He'll join us in just a second to talk about the game. First, I want to tell you, when it comes to your game day, you want the best in your lineup. That includes your eggs. Eggland's Best delivers more of the nutrition you need with six times more vitamin D and 25% less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. You can score now with Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs. For more information, visit Eggland's Best.com. We're also brought to you by Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. They're committed, professional, and versatile. If you're looking for skilled craftsmanship, choose Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at BentonvilleGlass.com. Brought to you as well by Southern Loft. They believe your home should reflect your unique personality. That's why they offer a wide variety of stylish furniture pieces that are perfect for any taste. Whether you're looking for a new sofa for the living room, a sleek dining table for your kitchen, they've got just what you need. When you're looking for that piece of furniture that reflects you, visit Southern Loft at 3155 North College Avenue in Fayetteville or call 479-856-6100. Ethan Westerman up early to talk to us about that late game last night between the Razorbacks and the Wildcats. And Ethan, as I watched it on TV, I could not help but notice the size difference between those teams. I texted you at one point and said, this looks like the JV playing the varsity, because it felt like there were 2 to 3 inches difference between just about every position on the floor. Arizona's guards, they were bigger than Arkansas's guards. And obviously their post players were bigger and more physical and stronger, it felt like, than Arkansas's post players. And, you know, John Calipari said this afterward. He said they were concerned about the matchup, didn't think it was a good matchup. We saw it felt like Arkansas's most recent loss to Florida at the end of February, where you get this team up against a big, physical, strong team inside and they're not going to perform very well. It felt like Arkansas, in order to get past the Sweet 16, they were going to need somebody to do their bidding for them and beat Arizona before Arizona could get to San Jose. That certainly didn't happen. And once they played the game last night, Arkansas was going to have to play its best game, and it played far from that.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing about this Arkansas team, is I think that it had Final Four potential just based on pathway. And it was just like, you needed to avoid a matchup like that, because we've seen it this season. Like, that's the type of team that they struggled against with size and good guard play combined with it. It was a bad matchup, and that was pretty clear from the start. I mean, it felt like everything that Arkansas, you know, got offensively was pretty hard to get, and it felt like everything Arizona was getting was just pretty easy. And I just think that for Arkansas, it really did kind of need a pathway in the tournament to, you know, maybe avoid a team like a Florida, Arizona, one of those type of teams that just have that much size inside, have good guards, and it just didn't happen. It's like one of those deals where it's, you know, we say it every year, like the tournament is really matchup based. Like, you look at what Iowa's doing right now. Like, Arkansas needed a situation like that on its side of the bracket, I think. Like, an Iowa had to beat Florida, and they needed that to happen, I think, with Arizona. It's just, you get to this time of year, and it's a lot of it just has to deal with, you know, a good part of luck and then matchups. And clearly Arizona was a bad one for Arkansas.
You know, we said this after the Alabama loss. We said it after the Florida loss this year, that it felt like those two games illustrated what was going to hurt Arkansas at some point in the tournament. You don't know when it's going to happen. It could be the first round. It could be the second round. It could be the Final Four. You just don't know when you're going to run into that matchup, like you said. But, you know, this team, the two big problems with this team from a roster construction standpoint were always that the depth was not very, deep. And they just, I don't know if it was lack of development. I don't know if it was lack of evaluation, but they did not recruit a front court that was going to be able to compete with the best front courts in the country. You saw it against Florida. You saw it even to a lesser extent against Alabama when Sherrill, whatever he wanted in the second half of that game especially, he got. And then certainly you saw it last night against Arizona. I think as you look forward for Arkansas, those are two things that they've really got to address. They've got to address this problem with depth, where last year it was Boogie Fland and Adu Thiro. They're out late in the year. You know, they're really thin on the bench. And even when both of them were able to play in the NCAA tournament, I don't know that either of them were up to full health. This year, obviously, you had Nick Pringle out in the NCAA tournament. You had Carter Knox wasn't able to play. And maybe things go a little bit differently against Florida and Arizona if Carter Knox is able to play. But I don't think he's worth 34 points in the Florida game. I don't think he's worth 21 points or what they lost to Arizona by last night. They've got to figure that out. I think they do. I think they have got to recruit a deeper bench, a deeper roster that's going to be able to withstand some of these injuries, because you know this is 2 years in a row where you've had injuries, and even Darius Acuff played injured down the stretch. You just couldn't get him out of the lineup. This, I don't know that you really think about injuries in basketball like you do in other sports like football, but it's a very real thing that I think that they've got to account for. And then certainly, you know, they got to go get some players that can be, you know, lane protectors, rim protectors, who can really get down there offensively and bang with, you know, these big guys like Krivas, who's 7'2", 260 from Arizona. You got to go find those type of guys this year, I think, in the transfer portal. You look at who they've signed out of the high school ranks. John Calipari said after the game last night he thinks that Smith and Toure and Andrews, that they're going to be more able to withstand the physicality. But still, you look at them, and they're 6'3", and 6'6", and 6'7". You got to go get some older guys who are going to be able to be, you know, 21, 22 years old, physically developed, and go down and be able to compete with, you know, the types of Arizona and Florida and UConn 2 years ago. Those are the types of teams that are winning the national championship right now. I think what we saw from Arizona last night, you know, it might be 4 years in a row where you see a team that wins the title with a really strong front court.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, yeah, there's like pros and cons to this whole, you know, the whole drop-off they have on the bench, to where it's like you have a bunch of guys who can really go, and then it's all of a sudden like they don't even just go to like your – like I guess there's the one transition man, which is Isaiah Seely, who I forget what he was rated coming out of high school, but a guy who can at least like, you know, be on the court and – maybe help contribute. But it's like after that, it's a big drop off. And I know they had Kareem Ratail, the Lebanese, a guy who, you know, is a pro player who they really would have liked to have this year. I think he had a procedure maybe on his back before the season that made him miss a lot of the season. And maybe that helps, but I think you're right. Like, it's like, does that really do, you know, if maybe if you have him and Carter Knox, does that bridge the gap of these blowouts in games like, you know, Florida and Arizona? I don't think so. And I think that it really, you know, a lot of it has to do with the guards too. Like, it's easy to blame the big men, I think, a lot of times just for the interior defense. But it felt to me yesterday like it all kind of started from the guard spot too, where these guys were just blowing by them. If you have a blow by up top and a guard penetrates and gets in the lane, like that opens up everything. Like, either the guard's going to go in for a layup or he can probably dish it off to a big man. It felt like this year they just didn't have enough of good guard play defense, where it's just like, you know, guys just kind of getting straight line drives and getting past their man. And I think that a lot of that has to do too with, you know, Arkansas guys played a lot of minutes. Like, it's, I don't know. It felt sometimes to me like they put, you know, 90% effort, 100% effort on the offensive end, and then maybe 60, 70% effort on the defensive end. And I don't know if that's like, you know, you're trying to just stay fresh and whatnot and trying out score teams. But I just think, yeah, you kind of have to maybe take a different approach in this era and get some more just really physical play, because it does seem like that's – and if there's one thing that we know about how coaches treat the transfer portal market and roster construction, they usually go after things that, like, are fresh on their mind because of how their season ended. Like, it would not shock me to see John Calipari go for a whole lot of size, because he just saw that be kind of the – you know, the bugaboo for his team down the stretch. I think that this Arkansas team, you know, obviously it's gotten hit in the past couple of years with a little bit of, you know, injury misfortune, but I think that's also just kind of what happens if you don't have that deep of a bench and guys are, you know, logging all these minutes. I think there is a bit of wear and tear that's natural. And you kind of have to, you know, I think expect that a little bit, that you're going to probably have a couple guys go down as the course of the season goes on. Yeah, I really think that, you know, we're starting to see some of these teams win with size, and you have to take note. It, like, guards win you a lot of games in the tournament, but I think that we've seen in recent years, like, you got to have big men too.
Yeah, Charles Barkley said on the broadcast last night or after the game, he said that he thinks Michigan is the only team that can really match up with Arizona because of the size of that Michigan team. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see this year how roster construction goes, because, you know, assuming that the rules get followed is not the right word, enforced, I think would be the way to say this, from the College Sports Commission, the CSC. It's different in building a roster this year than it was last year, when you could kind of front load all of that money before June 30th. Now, what's it going to look like this year? Are teams going to be able to stock up on quality big men the way that Florida has, or the way that Arizona has, or the way that Michigan has, UConn, and down the list? Does it make players more available to other teams? That's going to be very interesting to see as the off season unfolds here. But certainly Arkansas, they got to get better in the front court, and they're going to lose, I think, all of these front court players they have. Trevin Brazil's out of eligibility. Nick Pringle's out of eligibility. Malik Ewan is out of eligibility, although I think that there is a pathway where he could appeal for an extra season because of an injury or a redshirt. There's something there where maybe he can appeal for another season. But they've got to go find a totally new front court. They got to potentially find a totally new back court. I mean, you think about all the players on the floor last night, there's a very good chance, Ethan, that none of them will return this year. I mean, Acuff's going to go pro. Malik Thomas has got pro potential. People are talking about Billy Richmond maybe having an NBA draft pathway this year. It's really interesting to see how different this team's going to look next year.
Yeah, and that's going to be the question. You know, obviously that's the question every year after the season ends, is what does the roster look like for next year? And I could see a handful of those guys being back. I could also see really not many of them. It's like, what does DJ Wagner's future look like? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty tough, as a junior, to all of a sudden, you know, be kind of in the background of two elite freshmen. And I get it. He's more of a true point guard. Maybe that fits next year's roster really well, to where he's back as just kind of, you know, facilitating. What does his future look like? Billy Richmond's a really intriguing one, because, you know, he has some draft upside, but like, is that this year? Is that next year? I don't know. What is he going to do? Is he going to test that out? He's somebody you'd obviously love to have back. Malik Thomas is the real wild card here. He's the one that, you think about it, I'm pretty confident he'd get drafted this year if he declared for the draft. But, you know, next year's draft class is looking a lot weaker than this year's was. Does he come back and become kind of a headliner? Who knows? It's kind of one of those deals where I think that, you know, a lot of these guys who could return for Arkansas have a lot to consider. Malik Ewan's a really interesting one too, to see if he gets more eligibility, because I feel like what he did toward the end of this season reminds me kind of, not the same extent, but, you know, Trevin Brazil kind of upped his game in mm-hmm. the same time frame last year toward the end of the season, was getting these double doubles, and you were like, what could next year look like for him? And then he obviously was a lot better this year than he was last year, Brazil was. It's like, can Malik Ewan do the same thing for Arkansas, and then you get some guys around him? Who knows? But, yeah, the one thing you do know is you got three really talented freshmen coming in. So, you know, if nothing else, you're still getting the John Calipari way, where, you know, there will be some really good freshmen on the team next year.
Yeah, I mean, I like what Ewan looked like at the end of the year. He didn't have his best game last night. He was in foul trouble. And I thought that really you knew it was going to be a bad night for Arkansas. Within maybe the first five possessions for Arizona, Ewan and Brazil picked up fouls away from the basketball, really unnecessary fouls. And you can say what you want to about the officiating last night. I got some thoughts that I want to share about that too. But you know, the whenever you're playing a team like Arizona, and you know that you're thin in the front court to begin with, and you know that they're just going to come at you in waves, you gotta, you know, like every one of those fouls is precious. And I felt like there was, I don't know if callousness is the right word, but when you're picking up fouls away from the basketball, on two of the first four or five possessions, it just felt like you knew they were in for a really long night.
Yeah, for sure. And it was one of the few times, you know, I actually wrote something the day before the game about how important it would be to be physical without fouling. And I was mm-hmm. like, oh, maybe I wrote something that actually, you know, could end up kind of being the story. But it was, yeah. And I think what's tough for Arkansas is you watch a lot of these NCAA tournament games and they let a lot of stuff go.
Yeah,
the whistles are just different than they are in the regular season, especially SEC. SEC is notorious for kind of blowing the whistle on everything. But it kind of felt like that was like they were just trying to be kind of aggressive from the start, and refs were going to call it from the start. And that's what I think, you know, you started to kind of feel like, oof, this could go in a bad direction for Arkansas if it's going to be picking up those type of fouls against these big men. And it certainly was. I mean, Arizona's kind of foul, you know, merchants or whatever the term is, but Arkansas certainly didn't help its case last night just with some of the early whistles. I think in the second half, the refs lost control of the game. But first half, yeah, there were a few bumps here and there that just really hurt them because they were already steering into some foul trouble.
Well, Arizona, they just play. And I think I wonder what it's like officiating this because they just play the game differently. Yeah, they're not sitting there trying to pass it around the perimeter and take a bunch of three-pointers. It feels very much like an old-school style of basketball where they're pounding it inside and they're going to make you really guard them and defend them. And I would think that probably leads to a higher foul count. I mean, you saw it last night, 39 free throws for Arizona. Arkansas shot 26. I think Arizona's one of the top free throw shooting teams in the country in terms of free throw opportunities. It's just a different style.
Yeah, and it's that's the thing, that they put a lot of pressure on the refs with just the way that they play do. With penetrating and trying to, you know, make you have to come help, and then all of a sudden you're beat and you're trying to make up for it and you're bumping a guy while he's going up and one. You know, it's just like the way that they play really puts a lot of pressure on the refs to make some calls, and Arkansas certainly struggled to defend it. And yeah, Arizona came into the game. They averaged 7 more points than their opponents off free throws every game, which was the best in the nation. And obviously they, you know, exceeded that last night.
Yeah. 30 of 39 Arizona was at the line. They outscored Arkansas by 9 at the free throw line. They both hit 5 3-pointers. Although Arizona, I think they took 17 fewer 3-pointers than Arkansas. I'm doing my math wrong here, Ethan. 15 fewer 3-pointers than Arkansas. Yeah. And then Arizona. I mean, holy cow. It just – part of this just – and I think this goes back to the depth. Arkansas, you saw them in the High Point game too, where, you know, I think they're trying to play without fouling. And so they're sagging off a little bit defensively, and it leads to a lot of driving lanes. It leads to a lot of open shots. And Arizona – boy, they didn't miss. And then when they did miss, they only missed 21 shots last night. It's as good of a shooting exhibition as I think I've ever seen from a team in an NCAA tournament game. But then of the 21 misses, they got 6 offensive rebounds that led to some second chance points. So even when they were missing shots, about third of the time, Arkansas wasn't getting the offensive rebound and making them pay for that.
Yeah, it was just – it felt like they were picking and choosing whatever they wanted last night. That was just kind of how it went. There was – it was one of those games that it was hard to find a real silver lining for anything that went right for Arkansas. And you knew going into the game that Arizona – I thought they're the most complete team in the nation just without any real glaring holes. And it was like they certainly showed that last night. I mean, it was just like there was – even like you mentioned the three-point shooting. That's a huge part of the game that Arkansas took 15 – more three-pointers than them and had the same number of makes. It's like Arizona's just so – they're just so good and they're so selective. And Tommy Lloyd, their coach, he said, yeah, I don't go into games like saying we're going to shoot single-digit threes. That's just kind of how we know how to play, like as far as take what's there for you. And, you know, they make them when they are there. And even one of the threes, and John Calipari, I think he had one of his, you know, little deals where he went bing, bang, boom, whatever, talking about the corner three. That, you know, whenever they hit that in the first half, they're already making everything around the rim, and then they hit that corner three that, you know, hits every part of the rim. You know, it's just probably not your night. And that Arizona team was making everything.
I think it was Delorso who hit that three, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And that's the thing. You knew it watching on TV too. It's just, it felt like Arkansas was missing their threes. We were talking to somebody earlier who said that, you know, at their watch party, they thought that, you know, they felt Arkansas had a chance. I felt like the game was over about 8 minutes into the game. Arizona had – how many points did they have at the first media timeout, Ethan? Like 18?
And 16? Then by the second one, I feel like they were at like 27. Like, okay, now we're on pace for 100 points for sure.
Yeah. Most points Arkansas has ever given up in an NCAA tournament game, the previous record. I was at that one, and it felt a lot like this game was when they played North Carolina in 08 in Raleigh. And that North Carolina team was really good. They had Tyler Hansborough and that whole group that ended up, I think, winning a national championship the next season. They lost to KU in the Final Four that year. But, you know, sometimes you run into these one seeds, like UNC was in 08 and Arizona was last night, and they just are playing at such a high level that even if you're playing at your highest level, you're still probably not going to beat them. And then sometimes you run into a one seed, say like Kansas in the second round in Des Moines or Gonzaga in the Sweet 16 a few years ago out in San Francisco, where, you know, they don't play their game. And sometimes that's what you're doing to them. But it felt like last night, I don't know that there were two other teams in the country that were going to beat Arizona the way they were playing.
Yeah, and I kind of went into last night's game saying like, Arkansas is going to have to, like, I felt Arizona for sure had the advantage up front. So it was like, what does Arkansas do at the 3-point line? What does Arkansas do at the free throw line? And we knew the free throws would be a hard deal to, you know, keep close because of how good Arizona is at drawing fouls, getting to the line.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you're neutralized at the 3-point line by that team that doesn't take many, like, honestly, I would have, the final score that ended up happening, what was it, 109-88?
Mm-hmm.
I would have honestly thought it might have even been uglier than that, just based off. It felt like Arkansas, you were going to need to look at the final box score, and they had to be like plus 21 points in three-pointers or something, which I guess had they done that, had they made seven more, we have a tied game. But it's just like if they weren't hitting the three last night against that team, it was just over. That because of the way that Arizona's built, the way that they give matchup problems at all the, you know, interior positions, it just, they're a team that's too complete, too good of shot selection for you to really have a chance against them if you aren't hitting your shots, I think. And I said this before the game too, that, and I made a little note of it in the notebook on our website at Whole Hog Sports, just that Arizona, they call them kill shots. It's runs of 10-0 in college basketball. It's called a killed shot. And Arizona has had 35 of them this year, and its opponents had only had two. And I think it's just because of the way that Arizona plays. Like, you just watch them, and you know that you're not going to – like, maybe you'll get a quick, like, 6-0 run or something, but it's hard to stop them from scoring just with the way that they're built, the way they can get it inside, draw fouls. And it felt like in real time, like, watching Arkansas get an early deficit, like they're going to have to change this game somehow and get a big run. And you just didn't feel confident against that Arizona team to ever be able to manufacture the type of run that can get you right back in the game. That team is just so complete, so good. And I think they could certainly go all the way and win it all.
I do too. I mean, I don't see Purdue beating Arizona. I think Arizona would have to have a really off day for Purdue to do it. Now, of course, we saw Arizona. What I'm interested to see with Arizona is that, remember last week, they beat the snot out of Long Island in the first round. Then they turn around, and with Utah State, they had a little bit of trouble with them in the second round. And so I wonder if that quick turnaround is something that Arizona struggles with. Maybe Purdue can get them because of that. But, you know, if last night what I saw from Purdue and Texas and what I saw from Arizona and Arkansas, I would say Arizona beats Purdue pretty easily in that Elite Eight game. We'll see. Talking about Arkansas moving forward, Ethan, they've got to figure out a way to improve their defense. And, you know, that was such a big problem with them this year. You kind of saw it early in the season. I mean, you look back at, you know, what Texas Tech did to them in Dallas, what Houston did to them in New Jersey, even throughout SEC play. There were some SEC teams that weren't really great offensively who had some of their better offensive games of the year against Arkansas. And then, you know, I mean, down the stretch, I mean, Alabama, they're a great offensive team, you know, but they, I think they had in the 90s, maybe 93, 95 in regulation against Arkansas, ended up giving 117 in double overtime. Florida scored 111, Arizona 109 last night. There's a lot of, you know, 80, 90 point games in here from opponents. Some of them needed overtime to do it, but it just felt like Arkansas defensively was never quite what you thought it was going to be defensively this year.
Yeah, and it was just a total contrast from last year where it felt like Arkansas was in games because of its defense.
Right.
And I get it that it's a lot of times, like, you don't have an Adu Thiro this year. You know, Jonas Adu in the tournament was really good defensively. It's just it just changed the identity of the team this year, I guess, with the construction with the two freshmen coming in, and it was just more of an offensive team. And you've got to have that balance. Like, in my mind, I actually went to this like very early in the game last night. I forget which Arkansas game it was this season. It was an away game, and Dane Bradshaw said on the broadcast, "You can't have a Final Four offense with a round of 32 defense."
That's right. Yeah.
And you know, we kind of got the happy medium. We got the Sweet 16. It's just like it came back to bite him, and you knew that that's what would be what got him. Like, unless they just got a great pathway with matchups to where they really could just outscore these teams. Like, you know, honestly, like how kind of High Point was, where you knew if Arkansas gotten a, you know, a scoring match with them, that they had a good chance to win. But you were going to, in the NCAA tournament, you're going to face a team like Arizona at some point. Mm-hmm. And you cannot have defense that's that susceptible. And so, they've got to improve there. And, you know, Chin Coleman, who kind of spearheads the defense, John Calipari at one point last night, really, I mean, I don't know if I've seen Calipari since he's been at Arkansas kind of rip into an assistant the way I think I, at least if it wasn't him ripping into him, I don't know what he was being said, but it just kind of seemed early on like something clearly was, they were on different pages with something, and maybe just didn't love the game plan. I don't know, but Calipari gave him kind of a lot of words at some point in the first half. It just kind of felt early on, you knew like, oh boy, whatever Arkansas was trying to do defensively in this game is not going to work at all.
Well, and I think part of the problem defensively was that this was a foul prone team, and they gave a lot of free throw opportunities, and it was especially so inside with Pringle and Ewan. Pringle especially, who I think was brought in more for his defensive play. Yeah, and he had the hamstring injury, but well, that was five quick fouls it felt like he had last night. It wasn't the first time that we've seen that from him this year.
Yeah, and that was the whole thing with them. It was like if they weren't, giving up a bucket, it felt like they were fouling a lot of the times this year. And Trevin Brazil was just, I mean, he was a pretty good defender most of this year. He's just not built like how a Pringle or somebody is to where you should be able to, you know, bang and bump inside a little bit. It's whenever he's your best defender down low, it's just not a recipe to win. Like he's more of a good, like recovery defender, swatting shots, getting some rebounds, but he was not like you put him banging down low with Krivas or whoever else was down there for Arizona. And it just was a disadvantage. They've got to get more, I think they've just got to get more physical presences down low. I think there's a lot to be said for just being physically imposing. Like, I mean, Jonas Adu was kind of that last year, and he had a great tournament. And I know he got a lot of heat during the regular season because it just things weren't panning out how people expected it to with Jonas Adu. But, man, I think that he added a lot more defensively than maybe what caught the eye during most of the season.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, Arkansas, they struggled a lot this year with discipline. I mean, we can count – I don't know if we can count on two hands the number of times where, you know, just a dumb play, you know, that cost them a foul here and there, a flagrant foul, a technical foul. There were a lot of those. I think about Malik Ewan throwing the ball off the guy's head against Kentucky that ended up being kind of a turning point in that game. Or, you know, I mean, Richmond had some of those plays. Brazil had some of those plays this year. So I say all that to say that Arkansas, I think they had a little bit of a reputation for that. And I think that might have played a little bit into to Billy Richmond getting a flagrant foul on that play. I don't remember when it was, Ethan, midway through the second half, maybe a little over midway through the second half, where he gets ejected from the game. That should never have been upgraded to a flagrant two. You want to call that a flagrant one, I'll listen to it, even though I think the Arizona guy flopped. You hit a guy away from the basketball, you're going to get reviewed there. But to call that a flagrant two, I just thought that was really, really bad officiating in that moment.
Yeah, it was terrible officiating. It completely got away from the refs, and I get it. You're trying to, you know, maybe calm the game down or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's the funny thing is none of Arkansas is like it had gotten, you know, Trevin Brazil the flagrant one that, I mean, maybe I was actually on the other side of the play, so I couldn't really see it. I'm sure he got him in the face, but it clearly wasn't in person, like intentional, like that was not his intention. But I get it. If that's by the rule, got him in the face, call the flagrant, whatever. Yep. Nick Pringles was a frustration, throw the ball down. But it didn't feel like to me in person, it was like a whole lot of like chippiness aimed at the Arizona players. It felt like personal frustration with Arkansas. And it felt like the refs were trying to maybe calm the game down as if it was like a lot of animosity between Arkansas players and Arizona players. And they're just, I just simply wasn't feeling that out there.
I actually think
Billy Richmond's, do what?
Well, I was just going to say, I actually think the flagrant two caused more chippiness.
Yeah.
Because it frustrated Arkansas's players to see him get thrown out over a play like that. To me, a flagrant two has to be something that is clearly intentional, meant to hurt somebody. I did not think that's what that was. I thought that was just a hard foul. You know, you're probably trying to send a little bit of a message right there, a guy coming across the middle of the floor. But, you know, to me, a flagrant two, if somebody's going to get thrown out and it's going to be flagrant two for throwing a punch, how is that equivalent to a hip check right there, the way that they called that with Richmond? I don't agree with it at all.
Yeah, and what I think really is frustrating about it is that NCAA tournament games are supposed to be whenever refs have a little bit of just maybe awareness of the situation and that these teams' seasons are on the line. And maybe you're supposed to show a little bit more grace as far as, like, you know, if you're going to call something like a flagrant, maybe think about that even in the first place of, like, is this – like, there's a lot of emotion involved. These players are not out there. Like, Billy Richmond wasn't trying to hurt this guy. That was clear from the play, and the guy flopped big time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, maybe have a little bit of awareness and blow the whistle slightly different in the postseason and don't end somebody's season like Billy Richmond by throwing him out for a play like that. That just is really bad officiating, in my opinion. And it was not even, like, I honestly didn't think it was a flagrant in the first place. I was like, call that a common foul.
Hmm.
Call it a common foul. And it's a flagrant two was insane, though. I have no clue how that got upgraded to a flagrant two. And I hate it for Billy Richmond that that's how his season ended, was a guy flopping and refs going to the monitor. I always hate when a game turns into the ref show.
Yep.
And I get it that Arkansas wasn't they did some things that, you know, was clear frustration on there. And like Nick Pringle bouncing, spiking the ball, that's a technical 10 times out of 10. Like, mm-hmm. You can't do that. That one's by the book. But like, it felt like the refs were like almost searching for stuff to, you know, tee Arkansas up for. The John Calipari technical, I mean, obviously I was there in person watching it, you know, courtside. I couldn't see on TV if maybe there was something I missed, but it straight up came from the other side of the court while John Calipari was sitting down. And it was like, how did that even happen?
Hmm.
I don't know if it was on, like, and they announced it in the arena that's on Calipari. It felt like the refs toward the end of the game were like, they'd heard enough, seen enough, something.
Hmm.
And they were just searching for stuff to call. And it was, you know, Arkansas losing that game anyway. Nobody over here is blaming the refs for that loss, I don't think. But I certainly do think that it just makes it a lot more frustrating to watch a game that is already going a bad way for a team, and you're just going to end their season in an even more frustrating manner by teeing them up for stuff like that, throwing Billy Richmond out of the game for what should have maybe been a flagrant one, maybe. Yeah. So it was bad officiating all around.
Yeah, I thought so too. I thought so too. So Arkansas, they finished the year 28-9. They get to the Sweet 16. They win the SEC tournament for the first time in 26 years. You got Darius Acuff, who I don't think he's going to win National Player of the Year, but he's the SEC Player of the Year. He's an All-American. You know, he's brought a lot of really good publicity to the program. Certainly, I think people think now that if there was any thought that Calipari had lost his fastball and his staff at developing elite point guards, that theory's out the window at this point. I think there's a lot to like about this season. I think there's a lot that they can learn from and build upon in the future from this season. But I'll say this, you know, Calipari's not getting paid $8 million a year, and his staff, one of the highest paid in the country, and, you know, they've got a good roster. We don't know what the roster's being paid. We don't know if it's top 10, 20. I think all these numbers that are being reported, you have to really take them with a grain of salt. But the point is, Arkansas's putting a lot of resources into its basketball program. They got to figure out a way to take that next step. They got to figure out how to get past the Sweet 16. This is 2 years in a row where they've lost in this round. You're paying for a product that you expect to, you know, make it to the third weekend of the season. I wonder how you think that happens in the future.
Yeah, and I think that it's really crazy because you could tell this year watching Arkansas just throughout the course of the season, this was a better team than last year. They took a step in the right direction. You had some things to show for it, like, you know, the SEC tournament championship, your 28 wins, which were tied for the most since 1994, 95. You had a really good conference record. You like they took steps in the right direction, and then but you know you base a lot of seasons off of what happens in the NCAA tournament. How mm-hmm. far did you make it? And it ended up being the same as last year. And the crazy part about it is they were actually a lot closer to the Elite Eight last year than they were this year, which just goes to show how a lot of it's matchup based. I mean, they really should have probably been in the Elite Eight last year, and they had a tougher path in the postseason for the first two rounds last year. It just goes to show how the postseason really is a lot of times the draw you have, the matchups you have, and but that's what's remembered. And that's I mean, John Calipari knows it better than anybody that's how seasons mm-hmm. are remembered. I mean, why do we think his last 2 years at Kentucky drew so much, you know, frustration from that fan base because of their early exits? I mean, their 2014-15 team that was undefeated going into the Final Four and lost to Wisconsin. I mean, that's it. People hardly remember that Kentucky was undefeated that year. Now they just know that they made it to the Final Four. It's like what you do at the end of the season is kind of your legacy. And that's kind of my love-hate relationship with a lot of, you know, these – like we see it in baseball, softball, sports like that all the time, where a team will have just a great season and they're only remembered for that, you know, home regional exit. It's kind of tough because it's a lot of time trying to put things in perspective and see, you know, maybe reading between the lines of was there growth from year to year? Is this headed in the right direction? And I don't think anybody would have watched this Arkansas team this year and seen the product and said this isn't trending more in the direction of what you expected under John Calipari. I think that, you know, the future is definitely bright. I mean, you had Darius Acuff, who brought so much good publicity on the program. Jordan Smith Jr., who's coming in as another elite recruit by some services, you know, one or two in the rankings. And he said, you know, what kind of swayed him was watching what Darius Acuff did this year with Coach Cal. You know, it's like they brought enough, I hate to use the word swagger, but I think that's probably applicable right here with the that the program, just like they brought enough of that good publicity that attracts recruits, that gets a lot of people, you know, watching Arkansas. I know that a lot of this has to deal with that Thanksgiving game against Duke that came right after the Cowboys and Chiefs play. But like they got on TV a lot this year with a lot of eyeballs. It just feels like Arkansas's turned into this year more than it was last year, Calipari's first year, like kind of one of those brands in college basketball that's kind of, you know, cool to watch. Like a lot of just basketball fans in general like to watch the Razorbacks now. So it's a, I think they took a step in the right direction, but like you said, things are remembered for what you do in the postseason. And it's, you know, the next step is Elite Eight and beyond.
You got to have the pull to get those TV games, and Calipari's given Arkansas that pull. You know, he's got the connections to help them get into those high profile games like the one you're talking about on Thanksgiving. Two quick thoughts here before we get out. Eric Musselman had back-to-back Elite Eight teams. I don't know that I would have liked either of those Elite Eight teams over this year's Arkansas team. I think if you play them, you know, in one game, you would think that this team was better than those teams. The other thought on Calipari, I don't know how much longer he's got to coach. He's 67 years old, I think. You know, he's made the comment that he wants to help X number of families before he retires. You know, he doesn't say, I want to coach so many more years. I want to help, I think, 25 to 30 families is the number that he's thrown out in the past. What that means, only he knows. The point being, though, it's a small window, if you're Arkansas, that you have Calipari. And now, you know, maybe it's 5 years, maybe it's seven, maybe two of them are gone. And so that window's closing on the Calipari era. And it'll be interesting to see how much urgency, Ethan, he treats that with going into this offseason and trying to put together a roster to make another run next year.
Yeah, and I mean, he came to Arkansas to get back to, you know, those Final Four type of runs. I think that was clear that he came to Arkansas pretty motivated to do that because of just kind of the way that his tenure at Kentucky ended. And I think he's certainly driven to get that far. And you could just read it on his face last night, just like how frustrating of a game it was. Cause I think like he knew he had a really good team with some really, really like serious vulnerabilities that just got exposed last night. And it's like I said, I think that's an Arkansas team that very much could have made a Final Four run just based on who they got put up against in the bracket. Like they were good enough to beat anybody minus a few teams that they match up terribly against. And like Arizona, I would put in that pool of match up terribly against. And they ran into one of them. So it's like, that's what has to be frustrating as a coach, is knowing you have a team that could get you to that round that makes it, you know, really deemed a successful season. Mm-hmm. And just not getting there because of kind of who you ran up against. And I just made the comparison to baseball a little bit ago. Like I remember, you know, just a few years back, the Arkansas baseball team ran into like teams in its home regional that just were like on all time heaters. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that just happens to you sometimes, I think, in the postseason. And it's, you know, sometimes the luck of the draw, sometimes, you know, it's your vulnerabilities getting exposed. And I think last night for Arkansas was a combination of it. And they'd certainly, I think, would benefit next year even from improving their seed in the NCAA tournament, having a good enough season to where you're avoiding teams like that until pretty dang late in the process.
I think it's going to happen this way with baseball. If they win a championship, it's going to be a team that you never see it coming. I think it could happen that way with basketball too. Yes, Nolan Richardson, I think he might tell you he had more talented teams than the 93-94 team. But sometimes you just catch lightning in a bottle and you get those magical years. You know, maybe it's a lesser team that makes a deeper run for Arkansas in the NCAA tournament in the future. We'll see. Maybe next year. The Razorback season ends with that loss to Arizona. Hope that we see you at our website, wholehogsports.com. Throughout the weekend, big weekend here in Fayetteville. There's a big baseball series against Florida that begins tonight. Big softball series against Florida, a highly ranked Florida softball team at Bogle Park that begins tonight too. We'll have coverage of all of those games at our website. We'll have some follow-up stories from San Jose where Ethan and Anthony Christensen are right now. And we'll be back on Monday with a baseball podcast. Bubba Carpenter here in studio with me talking about the Razorback baseball series with Florida. Hope to see you then. Have a great weekend.